so with Den Diablo, so it's an NPSL team, right? I'm going to be very, you know, transparent, honest about it. You know, good, great. We won the national championship in 2021, but it's 2023 now. For the players that are returning, for the players that want to try out, for the players that have ambitions, they're going to come into an environment with the GM and a technical director, with the coaching staff, with the back office, that if we do what we need to do and follow a formula that I think we should follow and that the ownership supports and, you know, logistically is done correctly, we'll be competitive. We will have people looking at our players for the next level. I mean, you have to also have a network as a coach too to be able to offer those opportunities, or as a GM or as a technical director. These players here, they're good. Can we offer a pathway? We can. You know, we've had players go to MLS. We've had players that go play professional overseas. I think that, again, the ambitions of the club have to be reflected through either the coach, myself, the GM, and technical director. I want to win a national championship, and I also want some guys to get a look at playing pro because I want us to do well. If we stick to a methodology and a tactical formula, we'll do very well. We are, and probably, arguably, in my opinion, one of the most competitive conferences there are. Everyone's big game, you know? We get the star on top of our crest for a reason.
All right, guys, we're back. First episode post United Soccer Coaches Convention. We have a very special guest. It's Mr. Brad Namdar, GM of Denton Diablos, newly appointed. And Brad and I actually go back. We took a coaching course together a few years back.
That's right.
But it's been a while. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
So why don't you fill everyone in on your life and where you've been the past few years?
All right, sure, yeah. No, life right now, I'm the GM and technical director of the Denton Diablos and the NPSL. It's a lot of fun. Man, it's been a lot of years, the coaching clinic. That had been like 2000.
That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 hard years.
We're the only college kids in that course, by the way.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I remember that one. So a little bit about the background, yeah. I love soccer, man. I grew up, you know, in Collin County, Plano, playing club like everybody else did, you know, ODP, all that stuff. Kicked, you know, footballs at Plano West. I was all right enough to, you know, play 1 year at Texas Tech under Mike Leach. You know, I was on the team, but I was behind a guy who was, like, setting history every time he kicked an extra point. Like, he didn't miss it 4 years, so... You know, then after that, you know, I missed soccer a lot. I missed
They kicked a lot of extra points in that
they
time.
They did, yeah.
Scoring hella touchdowns.
Yeah, like Alex Trelica, you know, shout out to him. He was a guy, man, just nailing the field goals in. But, you know, it's cool being there, you know, for a year, you know, and all that stuff, winning a bowl game and then coming to SMU. I knew Coach, you know, Hyman, he was there at the time. And I got there, and then 2 weeks later, he went to FC Dallas. And then, you know, so I graduated from SMU, played football at SMU. Really just jumped into coaching. I loved coaching soccer. It was totally different. You know, we went to clinic together, and in 2010, I became the FC Dallas Estagio, which is a coaching apprentice under Shells Hyman, Oscar Pareja, you know, and those guys.
So how did that come about?
So I knew Shells from, you know, the club days going up, and then when he was at SMU. And when I made my transfer to SMU, that's when he took the job to FC Dallas. And, you know, you keep in touch with the coaches and stuff. And, you know, I mean, I realized very quickly, you know, I was probably going to be a better coach than a player. I mean, so I remember I emailed him, you know, hey, I'd love to do a coaching internship. And, you know, he first said, no, it's not so they have as much. And then, like, you know, I emailed again. And, you know, we met and he said, okay, you know what, let's get this thing going. And so through SMU, our journalism program, we created back then, now it's like, I think you have to be paid for internships plus credit hours. Back then, it was just like, if you get an internship, we'll give you credit hours. So
you actually did get credit for school from that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I got three credit hours doing it.
What was your major?
Broadcast journalism. So I had to do a weekly post about, like, what it was like being behind the scenes, you know, as the Estagio. Because it's kind of hard to push, you know, journalism with this opportunity to work.
I was going
to
say, they want to keep things kind of tight.
Kind of tight, yeah. You know? And so, but it was the best experience ever because, you know, you got to learn from two legendary, you know, coaches at FC Dallas and beyond. And, you know, Shellis and Oscar, they hold a lot of people's hearts, and they also are very good people. So, you know, I learned so much in that year. Then after that, got my master's. I went and studied dispute resolution, conflict management, and I was the SMU men's soccer director of operations. And mind you, during this whole time, I also was coaching at St. Mark's, the varsity boys, associate head coach of eighth grade boys, Cooper Fitness Center, just as much coaching as I could and going to school at the same time. And because today I kind of feel like sometimes coaches or even GMs or, technical directors, it's hard to break through. But back then, like 10 years ago, it's like the more work you do, the more coaching education you do, the more opportunities you get. So I was always just soaking it all up and learning. And being director of operations is totally different than coaching on the field. You have to do so much logistical work. You have to do, the grunt work, as I always say. You also make sure the other team gets their DVDs after the match, make sure just operations. So you learn a lot from that too. And after that, when coached, a year in a DISD at a high school, and I taught finance and accounting, and the bureaucracy was just uninspiring at times. But I mean, the kids are great. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, the students are awesome, but I mean, it was good to get the experience of coaching in high school, but at the same time, I think there's always, more, as any coach would tell you, there's always, they wish they could do more. And then I went after that to Mountain View College, where I was the head men's and women's coach for the college program there. And they were the NCAA program. And man, the facilities they have there are gorgeous. I mean, great, great, great potential to do some really great things. And then after that, I was 26 at the time, and I started my own home decor and candle company randomly, did that one because I took a break from the game for a little bit.
And, yeah, just needed a reset, huh?
Yeah, I needed a reset, and then, after that, went and kept growing to an art company, tried to run for office. Then after that, I'm here, and I'm excited to see, be back in the game because it tugs at your heart. You want to get back in the game, and you want to do it. And at this time, it's exciting. We have the World Cup coming soon. So, and being able to be a GM and technical director of a national championship NPSL team is good, but this is a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to chime in, Evan?
I do. I'm just interested. So the candle and
you
art.
You looked like you wanted to jump in. So
well, yeah, no, kind of got it. Because so just like the candle art decor company, I guess what made you jump into that? And then because you said coming back into the sport, it was like tugging at your heart. What, I guess, was like the final thing that got you back out of that?
All right. So here's the story. I feel like I've said it a million times, but I'm going to say it again for you. So here it is. So I got stressed out. So my life, okay, as an undergrad to my master's program, I got mad because I would go to Walmart and I'd buy candles. And when the wicks die, but there's a lot of wax still left over.
Mm.
Well, I'm like, well, why don't I
there's
just
so much
like
wasted candle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And then it's like, $7.99 per So I was like, whatever. I remember third grade. So I melted, the wax, and I poured in a cup and I put a wick in, and I was like, this is really therapeutic. So it's like my secret little hobby, like making frankincense and like lemon and stuff. But imagine coaching and doing all the stuff I was doing. It's a lot of stress. So I had like 500 candles. Like by the time, I was at Mountain View College, and a friend of mine and my wife now, and she was, my girlfriend at the time, was like, you need to sell these. Like, I mean, it's in the cabinets above the stove everywhere. So went to a farmer's market and we sold out in 2 hours. There's a showroom in the World Trade Center that signed me, and they help you. It's kind of like an agent, to help get you stores. But yeah, no, it was just based mainly on me making the candles. And shout out to my candles, non-decor, we slay, we're doing really good. Like, our burn time is amazing. I could talk so much
go
candle
ahead and
stuff.
Plug that candle company, Brad.
Yeah, exactly, gotta plug it in there. But no, it's we made it to Neiman Marcus,
that's badass.
We made it to a bunch of retail stores, we made it to Horchow on our art line, we signed with Formula One. I mean, we did a bunch of cool things with our art line too. But it's also I think coaching helped with that. Because I got competitive. Yeah. I would go look at other candles and be like, you're garbage, Or I'd be like, look at the bottom where it's made, So the coaching aspect of it actually helps so much in business.
Yeah.
Because you want to always like get to the next level and set a goal. And then
it's still going right now? Company's still going?
Yeah, it's still going.
I mean, it's going. But it was not easy. I mean, I got dogfighting days. The decor industry, as gangster as that sounds or doesn't sound, that, you know, even with art, you know, they're like, that Pantone blue ain't right. And I'm like, yes, it is, you know, on that painting, you know, but, you know, but it's a lot of fun. But what tugged at my heart the most, I would say, was that, you know, I've always wanted to get back into it. It wasn't permanent, you know, it was a temporary kind of thing that I got competitive with, and the business was going and going and going and going. But there's a certain point where you kind of feel that calling as well. You know, I'm 34, so I said, you know, let's get, you know, this opportunity does not happen like this every time. I met with Mr. Hitchcock, and, you know, we chatted, and they asked if I wanted to take this responsibility. So that's also what really got me back in it, because, you know, these opportunities do not come often. So I had to jump on it.
Yeah, it seems like you're kind of a jack of all trades almost. Like, you just kind of, you touch on a lot of different things. Like, you got into coaching at first, and you were dabbling in the coaching, but it seems like your mindset was always on the operational side of things. Would you agree to that?
Well, it's still with coaching. You know, I think that what makes a good coach, and it versus, you know, when you have a GM and a technical director, right? And I didn't understand the concept of technical director until I was at FC Dallas, and until we got Barry Gorman, and he was the technical director in the Shells. And you would learn that methodology and the way of playing is different. You know, the head coach is putting together a team that's based upon what the technical director gets, right, and what they work out. And usually you have to have a very good relationship with the coach and the technical director. If not, it's miserable, right?
Yeah.
So that's the coaching side of the mind that goes there. The GM side of the mind that's there is, well, okay, I've seen how to operate a program. I've seen what it's like to do with international trade and commerce, what it's like to do with, you know, negotiating business contracts from the business side of things, logistical side as well. So, I mean, all those experience, you know, put it there, but I'm always a coach at heart. Like, that's, you know, that's the thing. But it's offered me the opportunity to be a GM because of those additional experiences. But definitely, oh, man, from the first days at FC Dallas, from being passionate with Oscar Pereja and Shells Hyman, and sitting on the sidelines against Inter Milan when we played them in 2010, we tied them 2-2. That was the sickest experience ever. Yeah, I mean,
watching Coutinho play as a youngster.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember Eto'o scored on us dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, but we tied 2-2, man, sitting on the bench, you know, with the guys.
That's amazing.
You know, and Jose Mourinho was my idol, and I was like, oh my God, when I found out we're playing Inter, I'm like, I'm gonna meet my idol. And then he went to Real Madrid, like, right before. So it was terrible.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it was rough.
So I want to go back to, like, just your whole experience at FC Dallas, because, I mean, that's a huge opportunity to get. And like we talked about before, it's not like clubs are just going to open their doors to a volunteer, basically, you know? Mm. Like it was an internship for you. You got credit for it. Yeah. But they didn't have to do that for you, you know what I mean? Right. And so, like, I guess
it was extremely lucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had to, but it was a lot of work too. Like, the internship then turned into, you know, getting paid and doing camps and doing clinics with the first team guys. And, but you just, I mean, I'm telling you, it's 12 hours a day, you know, the summertime minimal, you know, out there, with the academy after class every day, SMU, go drive to Frisco and be there until 10:30 at night, then drive back. So it was an internship, but it was an estagio that turned into, you know, more opportunities of working with the pro team and the academy. Like, I literally was walking up here, and one of my, you know, former players from the academy, Ruben Luna, texted me.
Yeah.
You know, so I do keep in touch with them, and he signed, you know, with the first team, went back in 2010, I think.
Sure, the first home.
He's good. He's good. And then Victor Ulloa was also there. You know, Moises Hernandez signed. And then Brian Leyva was the first one who signed. So it was an exciting time to just work with the academy too.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. The opportunities are not.
Because
like that.
At that time you were young, like, you're a college kid. Yeah. I think that was that before you took your D course?
That was
the course that we took together?
That was actually like the same time, that summer.
So it's
going
like,
in.
I mean,
I was with FC Dallas.
Barely getting even licensed as a coach. Yeah. And it's not like you have a whole lot of coaching experience. You played football in college, so it's like the way that everything just kind of came together for you at that time. Like, I mean, that's invaluable. Like, it's created so many more opportunities for you along the way.
And I think they should do more of that in the MLS. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I've learned something in life through soccer as well. you learn that the good people that are successful that and deserve success, they're the ones that are not afraid to give opportunities to others, from whether they're players to coaches to other members of, you know, administration of a club. Because, you know, I mean, everyone has haters. There's haters out there for everybody. But, you know, I mean, you're right. They didn't have to do it. But yeah. Also, when we took the course together, you're right. You know, I mean, I did play, you know, ODP. I played a semester of college, you know, and all this stuff. But in reality, right, you know, I was very fortunate to be able to okay, when I had the pressure cover balance defensive drill, I'm not joking. I go and I'm talking to Shellis about my, you know, assignment that I have to do, pressure cover balance at Oscar. And then I remember there was one moment when someone, I'm not going to say who, because I was arguing, they flipped over the book and they point on the side, it says authored by, and it has their name on it, the person who I was talking with about really? Pressure cover balance. So that's like, you know, sacabo, like one of those moments, like, just like, there it is. And so, yeah, I do think the MLS and the USL One teams, you know, and those programs should definitely do that more for coaches. I think it's, you know, you're right. We took the same level of courses, but, you know, that opportunity shapes you forever, you know. For sure. But you, and you learn so much, though.
And like, I mean, those two names right there, Shellis Hyman, Oscar Perea, like, they've backed you from that time, you know. Like, this quote that was in your press release when you got announced as the GM technical director for Denton Diablos from Shellis Hyman. You know, I've known Brad for many years. His knowledge of the game, passion for the game, hard work, ethic will be a tremendous asset for the club. Oscar Pereja, you know, I've known Brad for many years, all the way back to my days when he assisted me at our FC Dallas Academy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Always reliable, smart, dedicated, doing everything he could to help our team, club, players, coaches. Great signing. Like, words like that, man. Like, that goes a long way from,
it hits
from
home.
People like that.
It's humbling, and it hits home. Those are the type of people I talked about, are like good people that want to give opportunities, but also, be honest with you, not a lot of people would go and say, hey, you know, I'd like to, you know, you have to, if you see an opportunity in life, you have to take it, you know, and say, hey, I want to learn. And I really do believe that culture has to still exist, or else, you know, U.S. soccer is held back a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
In your time there, I guess when it was kind of with the internship and obviously you were getting like credits with the school, was it kind of like unpaid type of thing? That's where I feel like we're getting like kind of at right now in society with like internships and whatnot. Because even like the internship like I did in college, it was for criminal justice and stuff like that. But it's like those ones, like, it was very valuable to do all that stuff, but getting paid was never in the discussion.
Right.
And then I feel like nowadays it's like everyone that kind of either gets out of college or they're getting into college or they're doing that stuff, it's like they're just so bent on just getting an internship that pays or getting something that gives you immediate gratification or like immediate like a monetary thing, as opposed to you actually, you know, getting there, putting the work in, you'll still be fine, you'll still get taken care of in other ways. And that's really just kind of how you got to kind of give it. And so, like you said, you know, getting back to those days is definitely what's gonna definitely keep all this stuff going forward.
Yeah, man. Well, this is just a different generation. Like these you know, teenagers, youth coming up, like young adults, they have big dreams and big aspirations. They want to go and achieve big things, but they don't really understand like what it takes to accomplish those things and the sacrifices that you have to make.
Right.
Like, they see professional players living their dream, but they don't understand what they had to do to get there. And it's like you said, the immediate gratification, they want it now. And they're not willing to go through the struggle, the adversity, to reap those rewards later. And it's like, what you did, put yourself in that position. You put yourself out there. Like, you didn't have to do that. They didn't have to give you the opportunity, but also you didn't have to put yourself out there that way. But because you did, and because you were willing, you were willing to just do the work and not necessarily reap direct benefit from it immediately, it's paid off in the long run.
For sure. And just like you said, with the, you know, assisting criminal justice and all that stuff, I do believe that you're right. To a certain extent, yes, there are kids and there are people that, you know, internship, how much am I going to make, you know, all this other stuff. That wasn't a discussion. You know, the fact that like it was my, I actually, to be honest with you, when I was there for free with no internship for like 2 months. And then, you know, SMU
went. And even that is an opportunity. Right. Like, you know,
you know, you show up and you care and stuff like that. And, you know, you have, I knew that first team coach, you know, that helped, but, yeah, you don't stick around if you don't, you know, if you don't breathe it, if you don't want opportunity. So nowadays, sure, we do have, I think as technology has advanced in soccer and nutrition, sports nutrition and all this other stuff, you know, Messi, he's 35, he just won the World Cup. You'll see
looking as good as ever, too, yeah, by the way.
You know, so
he was looking players, lively in that tournament, man.
Which would surprise a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I see that the longevity of our players and our youth players, there's a lot of more sports science that goes into it. And I think that that makes them feel that the actual hard work isn't required for some. There's obviously some that I know right now that are extremely dedicated. They want opportunity.
Of course.
But if they don't have the right people around them, oftentimes you can get led into the wrong situation or the wrong club or the wrong, you know, opportunity. And it's important to have coaches. I think also younger coaches that have experience to say, hey, you know, well, I worked with this club and, you know, this is usually the right way, or, you know, stay away from this agent because this is the way this thing goes, you know. Mm-hmm. And also how to deal with the stress of it, too, because it's we have come a long way with the academy programs and stuff like that. But soccer's still growing. So we have to grow to scale with that. Mm-hmm. If we don't, well, we lose so many opportunities. And that's why I'm excited about, you know, the NPSL, because it can offer opportunities if we, as GMs, as owners, as coaches, as advocates for, you know, soccer, make it a platform to give players opportunities at higher levels. Because some didn't play in college. Some didn't get to, you know, they didn't get to play clubs. So, you know, it's good to have this platform to have a big mix, but we also have to take it seriously from every side of U.S. soccer as well. So, shout out to that as well.
Yeah, and it's, you know, definitely at that level, it can provide a second chance for a lot of those types of players that you're talking about, because there are plenty of good players, and I mean I've seen them, you've seen them, seen them, and I'm coaching some right now that I know they have the ability to go as far as they want to go, but how far do they want to go, and how far are they willing to push themselves? And so Diablo's other, you know, lower level professional teams, like, there's so many of them out there now where it's like it can give those types of players a second chance to be like, hey, do you really want this? Here it is. And if you want it, like, now it's in your hands. No one else is going to do it for you. No one's going to hold your hand along the way and, like, you know, show you the way. You got to figure it out for yourself. And what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. And even just kind of obviously, since we're talking to you about Den Diablos, you know, plugging them as much as you can. But even like whenever I first, because I graduated probably like 2017. And when I first got back out of college, one of the things that I wanted to do was kind of like, obviously wasn't ready to go USL or MLS or any of that. So I was trying to like struggle to kind of, So I was playing PDL like my last like 2 years. And that was kind of the level. And I thought like I could probably get to maybe the USL at some point. But whenever I got out of college, it's like I didn't really have kind of any teams in the area that like seemed like they'd be like a good fit or anything like that. So I bounced around, obviously, I was in like Cleburne for a bit, I was in Keene and some other places, and they weren't bad teams by any means, but just going back to obviously talking about the NPSL team where y'all are at and kind of what y'all are doing, I remember it was probably like 2 or 3 years maybe when I was out of college and I was already coaching with him and I was already super busy, and playing on a team like that didn't really seem feasible for me. And I was like, man, just seeing everything, like the level that you guys are at, like kind of the professionalism around it. Yeah, it's like I really wish that would have been there whenever I first got out of college, even when I was still in college, because that seems like just a good, like you said, a second chance. Or it's, hey, maybe this player went to a good Division II or a good Division III, but they're not quite there yet, but they're still dedicated. Yeah, they're still dedicated, and they still want to maybe give it one last shot. And it's like that seems like a perfect environment to do it, kind of like I'll set everything up.
There will be a good mix of like young talent who didn't go play in college for their own personal reasons. Yeah. But then also like high level, like college players coming back and even older, like mid 20s.
We have international players that come and play in our leagues. I mean, and at the same time, which is good. There's people that couldn't even go to college because they had to feed their families. You know, they had kids, they had the parents to take care of. I mean, quality players. I mean, I've seen many of them. And so it's kind of crazy. Yeah, I mean, I graduated in 2012, and yeah, PDL, DFW Tornadoes, you know, I played with them for a year, and that was, you know, it was fun, but I mean, that was the only thing I think that was available at the time. So that, I also think the talent pool with the less teams made those teams so, like, I would say,
a lot better.
But it also cut out a lot of people, which would discourage them from, like, you know, pursuing, like, okay, I can't make it here. But then, you know, you could develop at a lower level and then move up and stuff like that. So that's encouraging to see in U.S. soccer and in the paradigms that we have. But at the same time, I definitely think the grind, you know, back in our day, it's funny I said that now, back in my day, you know, I mean, like,
we're at that age now,
I was literally doing two stopwatches at the same time to count possession for the team, you know, when I was at SMU. And how many times the ball go out of bounds? How much, you know, all that stuff. And then now we have technology that does that for us.
Yeah, automatically.
So, which makes coaching a new – you have to always adapt. So that's the most important thing. And some coaches don't know how to. So
and that's why they need these people in these internships and these young ones kind of bringing in through, you know, getting the new blood in there, showing them, you know, what the TikTok is, all that stuff, that good stuff. But even, like, whenever we were coaching, it was that – I forgot, I'm not going to plug that random-ass app, but it was that one that we would use when we were first, the like, with our teams. The soccer meter, bro.
I still use it sometimes.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Instead of us just having to write that down.
But, yeah, I mean, now it's like you got automatic cameras, like, you know, where you don't even need a person to film it. And then you can just – like, we use Instat, you know, and we just send our film to Instat, and they, within 24 hours, have a full –
that was like just coming out in 2016, I think. Yeah, like that was like a new thing.
Yeah, it's pretty detailed and very valuable for sure. They announced some kind of partnership with Huddle. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work, but I mean, yeah, there's options. There, you know, the technology is out there that is going to not only help coaches but players too, and analyzing their own performances.
And one other thing I want to say about that too is this: is that like. You gave the shout out to the internship. Yeah, no, that it really also tests you. It tests you to see if you can handle the stress because you won. You know, I mean, I've had a lot of coaching experiences, but it seems like the one you guys like is the Oscar and the Shellis one. So I'll keep it to that. Mm-hmm. You learn the psychology of the players. First of all, they're different style coaches. So, and you learn kind of how the first team approaches things versus your academy. And right. stuff, but when we played Chelsea, and with FC Dallas Academy at the Dallas Cup, like, you're going against players that are paid, and these signed academy players, you know. I mean, you know, and Jaime Ibarra, you know, is a goalkeeper, and he broke his leg in the match, you know. He ended up being my assistant coach at Mountain View, but you know, it was you see things differently, you learn more of a different game. There are some meetings that. It was, you know, you got to just make sure you be quiet, you take your notes, and then more trust you gain with the coaches, the more responsibility you have.
Yeah.
And the best part is when you see, because I was 3 years older than some of the players at the time, and on the academy side, you know, the respect level, their work rates, their wanting to be there. So there was never an issue with that. And that's really good for players to see that, because you see a lot of them did very well. Is from that era. And so that was also humbling to see now when I go and I see that some of them are playing in, you know, MLS, or some of them are playing, you know, over here, some of them in the World Cup, you know, and you're just like, wow, man, that's really cool. But I think that more of those coaching internships and opportunities should be offered. But I will say this, it is very difficult. It took a lot of time, a lot of days, a lot of nights, a lot of logistical work, a lot of trust. You know, a player got injured one practice. I had to go take him to the hospital and help, you know, with the forms and stuff like that from one of our academy practices. And I had an exam at 8 a.m. the next day. So, like, you know, so I told Oscar, I was like, you know, I got class at 8 a.m., but, you know, the kid was hurt. And I'm not going to say his name, Ricky Maggio. You know, but like, yeah, no, he legit Ricky. Broke his ankle. Yeah.
He used to work for Footy Factory.
Ricky. It was Ricky. So like I went with him to the hospital and I got funny photos on my Facebook of it. Like me, like trying to mess with him and stuff. But he legit broke his, I think, ankle.
Damn.
So, but we took him to the hospital, but I had an exam the next day at 8 a.m. and I had to go at 8 a.m. and take my exam. And we were at the ER until like 2:30 that day.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So those things, they really help shape you too.
Oh, for sure, man. And again, it's just, it's a testament to the type of person you are, type of person I know I am. You know, are you willing to make that sacrifice for what you want in the long run, in the end? You know, like, you could have easily been like, nah, like, I ain't got time for that. Like, I got to study, you know? Yeah. I got to go home and study. Like, I'm not getting paid. You guys figure that out, right. You know? Like, you could have easily done that. And obviously, you know, it's easier said than done looking back on it.
Eventually was paid. But yeah.
Yeah. But you had to earn that. You had to earn that.
You definitely had to earn it for sure. But that was never, for some reason, it's crazy. That was never my mind at the time, was worrying about money or getting paid. It was more like the team needs you.
Yeah.
You're part of the team and you do whatever you can. But
that's the point I'm trying to make, is like that mentality is not the same with this like next, like, you know, this gap of like teenagers through, I would say, even like early 20s players. You know, a lot of them don't have that like maturity to put their own like personal motives aside for something that the group needs, and also putting it aside for a long-term reward from it, right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, we even talked about it. It's not necessarily the same exact lines, but when we were talking about kind of your team last year, that someone needed to grow up. Remember how we pointed out the couple that were really fully bought in, fully doing everything on and off the pitch type of thing? It's paying off. But back in the day, you wouldn't be counting the ones that did that because it'd be too many.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you'd be counting the ones out that, like, the two or three that aren't. And so, I mean, I think now it's all about, I mean, you obviously can recognize more so the ones that do it, but I don't know, it's just weird. I mean, I think hopefully it gets back to it, but it's just, I don't know, it's odd, isn't it?
Also, this is something that I think is super important. You also have to be inspiring to players. Sometimes you have to unlock. I mean, you know, I've seen coaches, oh my goodness, there's phrases that you take, you know, and you end up using their lines and, you know, all this stuff because it's so inspiring. But I do believe that good coaches, especially younger coaches, you know, our age, you know, I do believe that a lot of players that say, okay, well, if my coach's ambitions is this high and my ambitions are this high, well, I like to play for that coach because, you know, it's no secret. You say, okay, well, do you think I want to be here forever? Do you think I want to be in, you know, a high school team or, you know, club team or whatever team, right, forever? So I think that it's also, as for us coaches, you know, that are, you know, 40 and under, I would say, that actually want to make a career out of it, you need to be inspiring enough to the players to unlock potential, because that's part of it. I mean,
it's like, look, I'm trying to get here. Like, if I don't get you here, there's no way I'm going to get there either. And you're exactly right, man. It's like, you know, a player is not going to follow a coach who doesn't want to push themselves as far as they can possibly go. Right. And push their team as far as they can possibly go, and push those players as far as they could possibly go. Like, if the players don't know that, like, you're really in it for them and want to see them reach their potential, their full potential, they're probably not going
to. And what's crazy about that is that that's more of the academy side to college side. It completely changes at the professional side. It completely changes the mentality and the way they approach everything.
Well, and that's the difference between players that actually get to that level and the ones that don't. It's like, if you don't have that mentality, no matter how much ability that you have, you're not going to reach that level. But when you get to that level, I mean, managing those types of motivation levels, like, that's not an issue. It's more of like the day-to-day, like, oh, he's having a bad day, like, let's figure out why that is, you know, let's try to bring more out of him on that day. But like, their overall goal and their overall commitment to reaching that goal is consistent across the board. Like, you wouldn't be at that level, you wouldn't be in that environment if you didn't want to, you know, push yourself as far as you could possibly go. So what are the ambitions for Denton Diablos? Like, you know, it is a professional team, but it's a lower level professional team. So, like, what kind of players are you after, and what is kind of the, like, what are you selling to them as far as where they can take their experience with Diablos forward?
So with Denton Diablos, so it's an NPSL team, right? I'm going to be very, you know, I'm transparent, honest about it. You know, good, great, we won a national championship in 2021, but it's 2023 now.
Yeah.
So for the players that are returning, for the players that want to try out, for the players that have ambitions, they're going to come into an environment with the GM and a technical director who has nice friends who you quoted, who said nice things about me, you know, with the coaching staff, with the back office, that if we do what we need to do and follow a formula that I think we should follow and that ownership supports and, you know, logistically is done correctly, we'll be competitive. Yeah. We'll be not only be competitive, we will have, you know, people looking at our players for the next level. I mean, I got off the phone with the coach from Costa Rica, you know, two nights ago. I mean, you have to also have a network as a coach, too, to be able to offer those opportunities, or as a GM or as a technical director, to already say, hey, you know what? These players here, they're good. Can we offer a pathway? We can. And, you know, we've had players go to MLS. We've had players that go play professional overseas. But I think that, again, the ambitions of the club have to be reflected through either the coach, myself, the GM, and technical director. I don't want our players to come and just chill.
Yeah.
You know, or do that. It's like, okay, you know, I got college. This is my offseason. I'm going to hang out. No, I want to win a national championship. And I also want some guys to get a look at playing pro, because I want us to do well. So if we stick to a methodology and a tactic, a formula, we'll do very well. If we stick to understanding that, yes, we won a national title, but we are probably, arguably, in my opinion, one of the most competitive conferences there are, and understand that, and understand that it's going to take a lot of sacrifice and hard work, we should be fine. You know, we're everyone's big game. You know, we get the star on top of our crest for a reason.
Yeah.
So last season, they finished fifth, I believe, in conference. They did so after winning the national championship. So I think it's kind of like when Tottenham had that hangover from going to the Champions League. You know,
how many teams are in the conference?
that hangover has been lasting for a little while.
Well, yeah. So 2021, and then like they won the title, then they got fifth, and I think that there was a lot of things that changed, but also it's a lot, you know, they're a new club, they were not 10 years old,
yeah.
They were a new club, so now it's a reset, right? Understand our potential, understand our opportunity, and we just have to get it done, you know. Yeah. And I think we could do very well, and I think cool guys like you, you know, putting us on platforms and, you know, showing that we're a cool club helps us as well tremendously.
It is a cool club. I like the logo.
It's a really, really cool club.
Yeah.
All the shit y'all got.
You gave us a nice little Diablos pin that I will definitely
I like when you were talking
find
about.
Find a nice place for.
Oh, no, me too. I'm already thinking about where I'm going to put it. But just talking about how, like, you don't want players that come and just chilling from college and stuff like that. And that's one thing that I think is really cool about just the whole. I mean, honestly, it's kind of why I hung it up at a certain point, is because, I mean, I think it's so cool, like, at that level where it's like you're not getting paid. You might be getting compensated a little bit. You're either in school and you're working a side job, or you have a full-time job, or you have a family doing this. So it's almost like a level of, like, when we love about college, like, I guess, like, football or basketball, they're trying to get to the next level. And it's the same thing in this. It's like players are trying to get to the next level. They're trying to kind of put their name out there. And then just I feel like the big challenge, I mean, I would assume from your standpoint, is just constantly keeping that going, constantly keeping that that wick lit. There we go.
Nice one.
Callback. Yeah. Callback. Yeah. But no, just constantly keeping that going.
No,
so, you know,
intended.
Like, obviously getting your college kids in there, but then also getting your older players in there, getting the ones that maybe weren't in college, and just kind of always making sure you're getting just the fresh ones in there, just kind of what you need to succeed.
It's 100%, because there are kids, you know, and I'm not saying that we don't want any college players. I mean, of course we want college players. But, you know, there are some times you see players that, like, I just want to do fitness, you know, to stay in shape kind of thing. Yeah. And, man, you know, and that's okay. But, you know, we want players who want to win at the end of the day. And a lot of them will not be college players. A lot of them will be. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there is no shortage of good players. And I do believe.
There's not.
I believe. I mean, dude, we're in North Texas. Like, seriously, this is a soccer hotbed.
Yeah.
So we'll be
good. Putting a talented team together is not going to be an issue. But it's like you said, like, finding the players that have a professional mentality, you know, because that is kind of an awkward, like, level to where it's, like, not fully professional. Right. But it's also it's a higher level than college, probably. I mean, a lot of colleges, at least. And it's a higher level, of course, than, like, youth, like ECNL or MLS Next. Like, it's right in between to where you might get some of those players that, like, have the ability, don't have the mentality. Or, like you said, like, college players who, you know, have the ability, have the mentality, but then maybe won't treat this as seriously. But then it's just about finding like a good mix of the players where they have the ability and they have the mentality. And that's going to go a long way for sure.
And in full and in all honesty, I haven't met our players from last season. I haven't met, you know, any of those guys, not many of them, but that's just a generalization of what I see in the thing. But it is a unique position. You're right, because it's not, you know, top flight. It's not bottom flight. I mean, obviously, yes, we can beat, you know, MLS Next teams. I think we can beat even, some other teams. But
hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
But you also have to have that mentality, professionals, but you also need a good coaching staff. You need a good front office staff. You also need to have, you know, the sponsors. You have to have a good community outreach. You have to have a good reputation with the community outreach. You have to, you know, build coalitions. You have to make sure your sponsors are there. You have to make sure that, you know, the fans turn out. We need to create a culture that is also inspiring for the players. Mm-hmm. Coaching staff is extremely important. Front office staff, like the way, you know, that I look at it, it doesn't matter if you're working the booth or if you're the coach or if you're the GM or you're the owner. On game day, every single person is equal. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody has a role. This is your job. Don't step over your line. This is what you do. But it's still a family at the end of the day. And so we have to build upon that culture. And especially in Denton, you know, the Hispanic and Latino community is growing tremendously as well, and they love soccer as well, and that's a community that I think that is excited for this season too.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure to pass the ball, all that stuff too.
So I'm sure, like, with your position right now, leading up to the season, and really just being like just starting in your role, that's going to be a big focus of yours, is like building that community around the brand, around the club. So like what are you guys doing right now to kind of build up some of that buzz?
Well, one is being on your show. So that's one of it. Two, I mean, for example,
makes people famous.
It's to be completely transparent with you, you know, Denton County is, you know, I didn't grow up in Denton County and all this other stuff. If you go there, it's a real cool vibe. We're between TWU and UNT, but then, you know, I went to go, it's a shop, it's called MB Tiny Shop, and this lady told me about this program called Goal, which is a nonprofit designed for the middle school and elementary school kiddos in the community that, you know, that can't play soccer necessarily at the higher levels financially or for whatever reason, but this is like legit middle school, elementary school soccer, and then it even feeds up the high school system. So once I found out about that, I immediately, you know, shout out to, you know, Jimmy and Jeremy Elder, you know, at Soccer Innovations. You know, I went and donated stuff to one of the soccer teams. I went out there and met with them. I mean, you get, because that inspires me. I went to a meeting and there's 35 parents that are coaches, that are teachers, having a weekly meeting for Copa Familia. And they're all on their own, volunteering their own time. You don't see that anymore. So I said, hi. You know, like, so, and we have a good relation. We've had a relation with them previously, but I was like, this is a relationship we must invest more in, you know, because to those kids, we are the big team, you know? And so, you know, little things like that, going into the community outreach also, you know, making sure that, we're communicating with our stakeholders and sponsors, you know, calling players and coaches and you know, letting them know, hey, do you have any talent? Who are you looking at? All that stuff. Connecting with the other conference GMs, learning a lot from them. They're really cool as well. Learning from ownership, you know, calling, you know, from your old coaches to, the, you know, a lot of stuff. But you have to do branding. You know, social media is extremely important, but also it's extremely dangerous, you know. So you have to be very careful about that, because I've seen some things online, you know, that are about teams or coaches or people that it was 100% inaccurate, but people don't have any interest in correcting it for
probably just for believe whatever they see.
Yeah, or they're ignorant, you know, and then they want to stay that way as opposed to reporting facts. But so you have to deal with those things, and then you have to deal with the players. And so right now for me, the number one thing is making sure that our fan engagement is there. It's also making sure we get the best team. We have tryouts on February 5th. as our first trial date, getting coaching staff sorted out, which is extremely important, obviously. And we have so many things, but we're going to get them done. But I do have a very good feeling about this season. I really do. And I also have a very good feeling about the future of U.S. soccer, as long as we take advantage of the opportunities. If we don't, then, you know, but I do have some good feelings of the future for sure. Yeah.
No, I do too, man. I think that, like, just the energy you bring is going to bring life to the club, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how you put things together and how the season progresses.
Yeah. And I like how you said whenever you found out about that, I guess the local kind of organization for goal, when you found out about goal, it's like your first thought wasn't of obviously like, oh, like how can this help Ditton Diablos? Your first thought is, how can I help this? How can I do this? How can I do this? And I think that's truly the way that you help build a community and you help build a club where people do want to come help out. People do want to do that. They do want to support you, you know, is having that mindset like that, like looking at it not from the standpoint of just – how is this going to benefit the team that I'm going to work for? How is this going to benefit, you know, these kids as a whole? How's it going to benefit the sport? Oh, yeah, for sure. How's it going to benefit all that growing up? But no, man, even just kind of talking with you, you sound inspired. I'm excited to, you know, see how y'all get it going.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So this is funny, and I may not say the name.
You're going to say it.
I don't know. I don't want to. But so it was – listen. This is some straight, true story. This happened – about 2 weeks ago, or not 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago, and I had a kidney stone. Okay,
rough.
Oh, terrible. I mean, I've been stressed out. I've had to do other things. I had a kidney stone, but that was the night of the goal parent meeting in Denton that I was invited to. So, and it was at 6:30. So I went really early that morning, and you know, passed the stone, and it was. But I wasn't gonna miss that meeting, so I went to the meeting. And, you know, I sat there, and then there was a kid who came out. He was outside of the front, and I was with my wife, and she noticed that, you know, I shook this hand. And sometimes when you're shaking hands with people, you don't stop to realize if someone is trying to talk to you or something like that, but you just, because you're shaking so many hands. So I go out front, and this young man, he says, I want to show you a video. And he shows me this video of one of my former players vouching for him to come and work with us at the Diablos because he wanted to learn from me, like I had at FC Dallas, all the other stuff. And I just started it was a flex in front of my wife that I was like, Do you see this?
Yeah.
Do you see right now that this kiddo had to get, I mean, well, like shout out to creativity. Then I found out that the guy saw me come in, the young man who, that stopped me at the end, and he texted my buddy, he's a, you know, former player of mine, saying, yo, can you like send like a recommendation for me to work with? So, I mean, shout out to that kid. That's like that's that old school hustle you don't see. You press play. He's like, hey coach, it's me. Bleep. You know, I just want to let you know my friend Bleep is really, you know, awesome. And he's a hard worker. And, you know, and I'm like, that's the kid. That's the type of hustle that wants opportunity.
Absolutely.
So, I do believe he's going to be helping us this season.
That's
sure.
Awesome, man. Everything comes full circle. And it's like that story right there just perfectly sums up like your story, you know?
Exactly.
So that's awesome to hear, like, you know, your drive, your discipline and the energy you're going to bring, like, is going to go a long way for that club.
The creativity of that kid to it's an hour meeting to send that text when I walked in, you know, it's like, dude, send me like something to, you know, like, honestly, if he would have just came up to me and said he wanted an opportunity, I would have given it to him. Yeah. But shout out to the creativity to you know, get a video and in front of my wife flex, you know,
and the act of even like going out of your way to ask somebody to do that for you shows how much you do want it. Cause a lot of times we're too scared to be asking for like,
everyone's too scared, man. Yeah. Everybody's too scared to take action and do something for themselves.
Yeah, and again, shout out to opportunities. Again, you have to be very confident to give opportunities. I find that people who don't, I mean, sometimes it's like impossible, but it's not impossible. You can always get someone to do something. So, and the best coaches, I know the best coaches. You've quoted some. I mean, Jimmy Elder also said some great things. Rusty Oglesby, you know, said some great things. He was a former GM too. And these guys, you know, they always give opportunities. And that's why I think they produce people that are not only loyal, but also will be successful in the long run. So this young man, he came up to me. Absolutely, I'll take him. For sure. And he wants to be there. Because he even says, that you don't have to pay me a dime. Because don't pay me anything. I just want to learn. I want to be a coach one day.
That's awesome.
So what else can you ask for?
Love that. Sign him up.
Yeah.
Get that kid involved. Yeah. Well, I love it, man. That's pretty much all I got. Do you have anything, Evan?
Yeah, so I would just say, I guess, obviously, you know, we want to keep the focus on Denton Diablos and kind of like, obviously, your role with them. We don't know how long we're going to be there. I guess, do you have – because, I mean, obviously, if I talk with him, I mean, he'll try straightforward. He wants to, you know, coach the pro level one day. He wants to kind of do all this stuff. No doubt he will. Is your thought process kind of like, I'd really like to be kind of like a GM or like a technical director at like an FC Dallas or an Austin? Or like, is that kind of – I guess where you want to end up?
Maybe. I think that it's a pretty pointed question. I think that things change. Yeah. You know, things change as you get older. Things change. The more experience. I mean, for what I love to be, you know, I mean, it's okay. Imagine if someone says, okay, you can be the head coach of a USL1 team, or you can be the technical director of an MLS team. You know, so you have to make the decision at that time, you know, which one's better. I mean, which one do you want to do? So, of course, my ambitions, you know, are to build right now is to make sure that this team reflects the ambitions that I have for myself and for anybody who wants to. And like he said, you want to coach pro one day. You want to do that stuff. I'm sure every training session you take it very seriously and you analyze and you also make sure that you learn as much as you can. You get involved. You network. You do everything you can to get your foot in the door because – it's the most important thing. So for me, in 10 years, I don't know.
But one step at a time.
One step at a time. And, you know, our website's www.dentondiablosfc.com. You know, we have a Facebook, we have an Instagram, we have a Twitter, all the social media stuff. It's going to be an exciting season. You know, check us out for 2023. And we should have a really exciting year. So I appreciate you guys having me, for real.
Absolutely. Any closing thoughts, Brad?
Closing thoughts.
Any message?
I'm not one of the bottle, but you know, I think I'm the special one. You know, I'm not one of the bottle. I just had to say it. My wife was like, "Don't say things." I was like, I try to explain to her the quote, like what he meant at the time in Champions League.
You know, the broken English makes things sound a little bit.
It
different.
It sounds so much better. Yeah. You know, so closing thoughts. Nah, man, I just support the local teams around you, support good people, surround yourself by good people, and good things will happen. You know, opportunity will be there. And
take the opportunity.
And take the opportunity. Don't like that kid, man, honestly, you know, the one who showed me the video. I think that, you know, that tenacity I saw, he's going to be successful one day.
Love
you know,
it.
But he's young, so he's got a lot to learn. So
for sure.
We'll see.
Got to start somewhere.
For sure.
Well, awesome, Brad. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys.